How long does it take to purchase a dental practice? This is one of the most common questions I get, and it's one of the most important questions to ask before you actually decide you're ready to acquire a practice. A lot of dentists go into buying a practice with a misunderstanding of this, and it can change a lot of things depending on what your expectations are for the process. My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I've been a practice owner myself, and I now help dentists acquire practices. I've helped over 100 dentists now buy practices, so I've been through this process multiple times now. And so I can give you a pretty decent idea of how long it typically takes to acquire a practice. I typically like to divide acquisitions into two phases. The first I think of as the search phase, and the second is the actual acquisition phase, post letter of intent. And when you sign the letter of intent, that is what I consider the dividing point. Once you've actually found a practice that you want to buy and you're ready to actually make an offer on that practice, that is when you sign the letter of intent. That's the official document that you are sending to the seller to say, hey, I am interested in purchasing this practice. So first of all, I want to talk about how long it typically takes to get to a signed letter of intent. And then the second part of the video is going to be about once the letter of intent is signed, how long does it take to reach closing or when you are actually buying or when you're actually taking over the practice. Some dentists, they already have a practice they are ready to buy. Maybe it's from a parent. Maybe it's from an associate job that they're currently working at. They know exactly which practice they want to buy. Other dentists that I work with, they come to me and they have absolutely no idea what practice they want to buy. They don't even know where they want to live. So I've seen all across the board a different range of different styles and different dentists that they have, that they start at different points. So depending on where you're starting is going to have a big effect on how long the search phase is going to last. If you know where you want to live, that can be both a blessing and a curse. On one hand, it makes it easier to focus your search when you have a specific location that you're looking to practice. But on the other hand, if you're too specific in the location where you want to practice, it can limit the amount of practices that you might have the opportunity to evaluate and potentially purchase. I've worked with some dentists who they live in a certain city, they already have a house, their children are already in school, maybe their spouse already has a job, and they say, I want to buy a practice within 5 to 10 minutes driving distance of where I currently live. That might be difficult. That might be challenging. Sometimes it works out. They look at practices on the market and they find one within weeks. They find a practice that's within 5 or 10 minutes of their house. It's the perfect practice and they buy it. But that is the exception to the rule. That's rather uncommon to find a practice that easily in such a targeted, limited geographical area. On the other hand, if you, for instance, are willing to work anywhere in a state, that can be helpful because it limits you enough that you know which practice brokers you should reach out to because you're selecting a certain state or a certain region. But you have a lot more practices available to you because you're looking at multiple different cities. So the inevitable question is, let's say you want to live somewhere, but you also want to buy a practice, and you're trying to decide which you should weigh higher on your priority list, staying where your spouse and your family is going to be happy or going where you're able to purchase a practice. My advice is stay where you're going to be happy and then just expand the timeline on which you're willing to wait to find a practice to be a little bit longer and stay where you actually want to live. I know it feels like you've been looking for to find a practice for sale. And truth is, maybe you have been. But if you're going to be working there for the next 30, 40, 50 years, maybe more, there's a lot of evidence right now with the way that health science is advancing that we might be living longer than our parents and our grandparents lived. And that's great news. It might mean that you're working even longer in this location that you choose. And so find an office location that you're happy with. Don't settle to move somewhere that you're not going to be happy. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. There are people everywhere with teeth. You can be a dentist anywhere you want. But with that being said, if you don't have a strong preference on which exact city you want to live in, it can be helpful to have a little bit more of a broader search radius if you want to find a practice quicker. So the reason I'm dividing this into two phases, the search phase and the post-LOI phase, is because legitimately, I've seen it take a week or two to find a practice during the search phase. And I've seen it take multiple years to find a practice during the search phase. And so there's so many different considerations. And there's also just a lot of luck involved too, especially if you're looking in a limited geographical area. Dentists know each other. They have friends. When one dentist decides he's going to sell his practice, another dentist might decide she's ready to sell her practice at the same time. And that's not uncommon to have months go by where there's nothing on the market. And then all of a sudden there's 3 or 4 practices that hit the market all at once. And so you as a buyer, you need to make sure you're ready. Unless you have a family member who's a dentist that you're going to be purchasing the practice from them, or you're at a long-standing associate job and you're going to be taking over from your previous boss, typically you're going to find dental practices through dental practice brokers. They're similar to realtors, but they're a little bit different. Realtors will share a commission between a buyer's and a seller's representative. Usually the commission is about 6%, 3% goes to the buyer's rep and 3% goes to the seller's rep. But with dental practices, there is no such agreement in place. Oftentimes, practice brokers will charge something like 8 to 12%, averaging about 10% of the sales price, which, remember, practices often will sell for over $1 million. So we're talking a pretty large commission bonus. But they don't share this commission with other brokers just because someone else introduced them or anything. So there's no splitting commission between buyer and seller's reps. So practice brokers are only going to be telling you about practices they personally have listed for sale. So another way to shorten the time to find a practice for sale is to reach out to every single practice broker in your area. One of the things I do with my clients is I keep a database of practice brokers and I filter it out for the location that you're in and I send it to you. Oftentimes I have dentists that come to me and they say, I'm talking to all the practice brokers. They've talked to maybe two or three brokers. I send them a list of 15 to 20 different brokers that they weren't even aware of. And then we find a practice within a few weeks after that. The problem is if you limit yourself to just a few brokers, you're not going to be seeing all the practices on the market. And so it's going to take you significantly longer to find a practice if you're not actually looking at all the practices that are available for sale in your area. Then once you're actually speaking with these brokers, keep in mind, they might sell five or six practices a year, maybe 10, maybe fewer. It depends on the broker. But they might have five or six that are actually legitimately good practices, but they might have another five or six that no one else wants to buy. They're kind of lousy practices. When you first reach out to brokers, they're going to try to get you to buy those lousy practices. They're going to send you the worst possible practices first. The best practices will often sell within a few weeks. The lousy ones, the ones that no one else wanted to buy, those are the ones that are sitting on the market for 5 or 6 months. So when you first reach out to a broker and they say, oh, I do have two or three practices, here they are. Those are the ones no one else wanted to buy. Those are the lousy ones. They're trying to offload them off to you as a gullible new buyer. They see you and they say, hey, this guy, this girl, they might be gullible. They might buy this thing that no one else has wanted. Let's see if they'll buy it. If not, then I might show them one of the better practices when they come to market in a few months. Be very careful. I've looked at about 500 practices now, and 84% of those practices I have recommended to my clients to not purchase. That means only about 16% of the practices on the market, in my opinion, were actually worth purchasing. Buying a dental practice can be one of the best decisions you could possibly make, or it could be one of the worst decisions you could possibly make. It all depends on which practice you buy. And if you buy the wrong practice, it could potentially be significantly more difficult and significantly worse than just staying put at your associate job. When you reach out to banks, attorneys, accountants, practice brokers, everyone is incentivized to have you close as quickly as possible on any practice they can find. There's no incentive for them to try to get you to buy a better practice. They're not paid off of your profit 2 or 3 years into the future. They're paid off that sales price. They're paid off a commission based on how much you pay for the practice. A practice broker, a banker, an accountant, they would be happy with you paying as much as possible for a practice that isn't even that good of a practice. The question we asked today was, how long does it take to purchase a dental practice? And before I give you an actual number, I want you to first understand that if it takes you a little bit longer than average, that's not a bad thing. It's good to be selective. You would be so much better off taking a year or two to find an incredible practice than buying a terrible practice in 3 months. I promise you, you'll be so much happier if you wait this out and do things right. If you actually want a number for how long the searching phase lasts, the median across the dentist that I have personally worked with was 4 months. That's the median. Some took a lot longer. Some have taken a year or two. Some find practices within days. The median's about 4 months. Depending on how limited you are in your geographical area and how selective you are, it could take more or less time. And there's also just some luck involved. But it's going to take you a few months to find the right practice. Don't rush things. Do this right. Now, part two is once you have actually found the right practice, the practice that you decided you want to purchase, or at least that you're strongly considering purchasing, that's when you submit the letter of intent. The letter of intent is the legal official document where you're making an offer, you're putting down a purchase price, you're putting an anticipated closing date, and you're putting down a lot of the terms that you want to have included in the asset purchase agreement. Now, the letter of intent is a different document from the asset purchase agreement. The letter of intent is typically 2 to 3 pages long, and it gives a summary of what you anticipate to be in the asset purchase agreement and the lease agreement. The asset purchase agreement and the lease agreement, or if you're purchasing the building, there'll be two asset purchase agreements, one for the practice, one for the building. But the asset purchase agreement is usually something like 40 pages long. It spells everything out in a lot more detail. The letter of intent, it's not an actual commitment to buying the practice just yet. It's a signal of your intention to strongly consider purchasing the practice. And you're saying to the seller, these are the terms if I'm going to purchase the practice that I would prefer to purchase the practice under. The seller will then look at your letter of intent. They will make their adjustments and changes. They'll send it back. Sometimes it goes back and forth a few times before you come to an agreement. The process of going back and forth on this letter of intent can sometimes take a couple of days, and sometimes it can take up to a month or more. Typically, I see maybe 2 to 3 weeks on this LOI. So understand that this whole thing is a process. It's going to take multiple months to find a practice. It's going to take at least a couple of weeks to even come to an agreement once you've found a practice and what the purchase price and what the terms are going to be. Then once that letter of intent is signed by both you and the seller, that is when you officially can start on your due diligence. Due diligence is simply a fancy term for saying checking out to make sure everything is in good condition and is what the seller told you it was going to be like. When you're early on in the process, you're just looking at documents that you receive from a broker, but you have no way yet of actually verifying the information in those documents is true. Due diligence is where you go back and actually verify that everything is accurate to make sure you're actually purchasing what you are told you are being purchasing. So once you have the letter of intent signed, you can start on your due diligence and you can start on getting approval for financing from the banks. Now, there are about 50 or 60 different things that need to take place after signing that letter of intent before closing. I'm not going to tell you this is an easy process. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen to acquire a dental practice. It's a lot of work. If you do it right, eventually it's going to be worth it. but it's a lot of work. One of the things that I do with the dentist that I work with is I have a full list of closing steps that take place after the LOI is signed. I go through that with them, and that can be very helpful. If you want to work with me, feel free to reach out and I'll share that list with you once we get to that stage. I don't have time to go through everything today, but there are a lot of things that need to happen. I want to give you a brief overview today of some of the things that need to happen before closing so you can get an idea of how long it's going to take. Due diligence is typically going to take a few weeks to a month. That's going to include both document review and you're going to want to do an in-person visit to the office. Oftentimes, before you make the offer, you're going to do an initial visit to the office, but you want to go back during due diligence and actually do a more detailed visit where you really go through everything and make sure the office and the charts and the radiographs and all the equipment, everything's in the condition that you're expecting. And so that you have an idea of what kind of expenses you're going to have after you purchase the office. Do not skip out on this. This is where quite a few dentists that I have worked with, we looked at the documents, we thought this was a good practice, we got into due diligence. One of the things I'll do is with clients is I often will go in person for the site visit with them, for the due diligence site visit. And there have been quite a few times where we've gone in person and what we saw was not at all what was in the documents. And there have been some practices that when we did the site visit, we realized, hey, this is not worth buying and I recommend to the client, you should back out and find another practice. Just maybe about 7 or 8 months ago, I did a site visit with a dentist. He was really excited about this practice. But when we got into the office, I don't have time to go into all the details today, but it was not what we were told it was going to be. And I told him, hey, I know you're excited about this office, but you really need to reconsider. He listened to my advice and he did not buy the practice. And 2 or 3 weeks later, he found another practice that was like significantly better, way better, a much better practice. And I'm not joking when I say, I think at that first practice he was looking at, his first year income would have been maybe $150,000 to $200,000. You can do better than that at an associate job. That is not very good income for a dental practice owner. It's not worth the extra stress and headache and hassle to purchase an office and make $150,000 your first year. Absolutely not worth it. And so I talked him out of that one. But the next practice he found, that was one where he's likely going to be making something like $500,000 to $700,000 his first year. A significantly better practice. And what did it cost him? 3 to 4 weeks of waiting. He had a slightly awkward conversation with the seller saying, hey, sorry, I don't want to buy this practice anymore. He didn't have a deposit down on this one, so he lost absolutely nothing. He walked away, nothing happened. He found a significantly better practice less than a month later where his income is going to be 2 to 3 times higher just because he was willing to wait just a few extra weeks. I want you to be so careful when you're looking at dental practices because even just a slight little wait, you might find something that is so much better, so much like, we're talking over the course of the lifetime of this dentist, just waiting those 3 or 4 weeks is millions of dollars that he now is going to be making that he wouldn't have otherwise likely have been making at that other practice. So take your time, do this right. Actually take your due diligence seriously because this stuff matters. So due diligence, we're talking 3 to 4 weeks. Financing, you can do while you're doing due diligence. So these things are going to be happening concurrently. It's typically going to take you a few weeks to reach out to all of the banks and get all of your information over to them and just get it entered into their systems. Some of these banks ask for a lot of information. Maybe you have it all up front, hopefully, but likely the banks are going to ask for some information you don't initially have. You're going to have to be going back and forth with the seller or the broker saying, hey, I need this document. Can you find it for me? You're going back and forth. It takes a couple of weeks to get everything submitted. Once all of the documents are submitted to the banks, we're typically looking at something like 3 to 4 weeks before you hear back from a bank to get approval. I recommend having a couple different banks that you're reaching out to so that you can compare terms. Their first terms they're going to give you are a little higher than what they're willing to do. And when you have multiple offers, the bankers actually have room to bring those rates down a little bit. They have negotiation room, but only if you actually negotiate with them. If you just take the first thing they offer to you, then that's what you're going to be stuck paying. But if you take your time to do this right, once again, take your time. I'm telling you, don't rush this. I want you to have a couple different banks that you're comparing and do not try to say, how fast can I do this? You're going to miss out on all sorts of savings if you try to rush this because there is room to negotiate. So we're talking 2 to 3 weeks to get the documents submitted, another 3 to 4 weeks to actually get those offers back, and then another 2 to 3 weeks in order to actually negotiate with those banks. So we're talking maybe 2 months or so for financing. Once the financing is accepted, then we have another 2 to 3 weeks where the banks have to actually process everything and get everything ready for the transition. And so that can be another 2 to 3 weeks right there. So just for the banks alone, we're talking 2, maybe 3 months to do things properly. Now, another thing you're going to be doing concurrently with these other things, oftentimes after due diligence is completed, that's when you'll move forward with your lawyer on working on your asset purchase agreement. If you start working on the asset purchase agreement right after the LOI is signed, before you've done your due diligence, there's a chance you might want to back out. But if you've already hired a lawyer to work on your asset purchase agreement, you're now going to have some legal fees that you're going to have to pay even if you back out. So if you can, I recommend due diligence and financing right after the LOI is signed, but then wait until after your due diligence is finished to go forward on your asset purchase agreement. Now, there are all sorts of times where there might be exceptions to this, but that's kind of the way that I recommend handling things usually. Now, the legal side, once I just do not have time right now to go into all the details on that, it's very complicated. There's a lot of moving parts, but As a short rule of thumb, if you hire someone who's dental specific, who has experience with dental practices, they're going to be much quicker than if you hire someone who is just like a general business lawyer who doesn't have experience with dental practices. You can control the attorney you hire. You don't have control over the attorney your seller hires. Hopefully, ideally, you have a dental specific attorney, your seller has a dental specific attorney, and they're able to go back and forth with minimal changes. They've done this before. They understand the process, and it takes a couple weeks to get the asset purchase agreement finished. If, on the other hand, either you or the seller hires an attorney who's not experienced, it can add months to the process. I'm telling you that I've seen some lawyers just drag their feet. They take forever to get back and get documents signed. And if they don't know what they're doing, they might spend all sorts of time just trying to understand how the process works and not actually working on your documents. And sometimes some lawyers, if they don't have experience with the process, they'll argue. They'll spend all sorts of time arguing points that really are not that important. The thing is, this is a 40-page document, this asset purchase agreement. You don't have time to argue every single point in there. You need to select the one or two, maybe three things that are important to you and focus on those. Don't try to negotiate every single thing in that letter, which some inexperienced attorneys will do, and that can delay closing by months if you're not careful. So be careful who you choose for your lawyer, because that can make a big difference on timelines. Finally, the last person that might be involved in the sale, depending on if the seller owns the building or not, sometimes the seller will own the building, and you're simply going to be negotiating with the seller. That's going to simplify things. But if you are leasing this building from a separate third party, a landlord, there's no telling what kind of headache that could cause. I'm just telling you that I've seen some landlords do some absolutely crazy things. You might do everything perfectly with due diligence, everything perfect with financing, everything perfect with your attorneys. You're getting the asset purchase ready to go. The seller's cooperative, the broker's cooperative, but the landlord is not. And I've seen some deals completely ruined because of this, where they've gotten all the way up until days before closing and that lease is still not signed. There's still no agreement on the lease. If you are not able to lease the building, then you're not going to be able to buy the practice. If the landlord has some sort of unrealistic expectations or requirements for you, you simply might not be able to buy this practice even if you want to. And the only way you could buy it is if you just buy the charts. But if you are a new dentist and you don't already have your own practice to bring those patients to after you acquire the charts, then charts are meaningless. You have to have your own office to acquire charts. And even then, chart purchases are risky because a lot of the patients aren't going to want to just go to another dentist just because they say, hey, we've got your x-rays over here. Some might, but ideally you're buying the actual practice and you're either buying the building or you're leasing the same building where the seller was. So don't leave the lease till the end and just say, oh, I'm sure it's going to work out. No, you need early on, you need to be making sure that that lease is going to be transferable to you. And if it's not transferable, that you're going to be able to set up a new lease that's going to give you at least 5 or 6 years guaranteed that you're going to be able to stay in this building at a reasonable, affordable price. Or else you're dead in the water. You're not going to be able to move forward. So all in all, we're talking on the minimum, another 2 months to close on average, closer to 3 to 4 months. And I've seen it take some dentists 5, 6, 7, 8 months to close on a practice. Usually the ones that are closer to the 7 or 8 month range are ones who have purposefully slowed it down. Maybe they have a wedding that they're trying to delay for. Maybe they have a spouse that's in school and they're not ready to move yet. Those types of things can delay closing, and that's fine as long as the seller agrees to it. But typically, we're looking at 3 to 4 months to close on a practice. I've seen some dentists do it as soon as, I think 5 weeks is maybe the quickest that I've seen after LOI to closing on the practice. Less than a month, that's going to be really, really tight. And you're probably going to have to make some compromises if you want to move that quickly. Taking your time negotiating financing, actually making sure your asset purchase agreement is done properly, actually making sure that you're properly doing your due diligence. All of those things take time, and I strongly recommend taking your time through this process. Remember, buying the right practice, one of the best decisions you can make. Buying the wrong practice, significantly worse than staying at your associate job. So while we're on the topic of associate jobs, one of the other questions that I get all the time, and it is kind of a complicated question that doesn't have a great answer, is when do you leave your associate job if you're buying a practice? Because obviously, you're not going to be able to buy the practice and stay at your associate job at the same time. So you're going to have to leave your associate job at some point so that you can start working at the office that you just bought. It's complicated though, because once you turn in your notice at your job, if the purchase for the practice falls through, then you're out of job. You won't have a job. And this is very concerning for a lot of dentists, the idea that they're going to be without a job. Now, first and foremost, if you are going into this afraid of losing your job, you need to take a step back and understand that you just went to 4 years of professional school and 4 years of undergrad, so 8 years total. You did a massive undertaking to become a dentist. There is a severe shortage of dentists. You are going to have absolutely no trouble finding another job if you leave your current associate job. So I don't like this mindset where I'm afraid that if I turn in my notice too soon, I'm going to be out of a job. If that happens, it is not a problem. It will be so easy for you to find another job. You need to make sure that you understand your value as a dentist and your ability to negotiate terms, which is another thing I want to make sure you understand. If this was your first job out of school, it's likely you signed some sort of contract without even having a lawyer review it or without even negotiating. If you did that, shame on you. In the future, don't do it again. But you need to go through and see what you actually signed. Some dentists sign 3-month, 90-day notices, which is, I wouldn't do that ever again. Don't do that in the future. If you take another associate job, 30 days maximum. I'm telling you, you do not need to sign 90 days. Yes, the employer would like it. They're going to start out by offering you a contract with 90 days and they're going to want you to sign it. You just need to take out a Word document processor or take out your pen and just cross out the 90 days and write in 30 days and say, hey, I will sign this, because 90 days is too much. You're going to find that if you have signed a 90-day contract, it's going to be a little bit difficult when you acquire your practice. There's ways around it, but it's going to be difficult because you're going to have to turn in your notice, but you're also going to be trying to acquire the practice. Now, we said that it typically takes 3 to 4 months to buy a practice. So what I would recommend is as soon as that letter of intent is signed, turn in your notice. Now, this is before you finish your due diligence. Yes, I understand. So there's a chance that you still might back out on this practice and you've already turned in your notice. That's just how it's going to have to be. Now, if you only have to give a 30-day notice, that would be more ideal, because now you can finish your due diligence before turning in your notice. But if you have to give a 90-day notice, then as soon as that LOI is signed, you need to turn in your notice. Now, just because you, now when you purchase the practice, I strongly advise you give yourself some time between when you leave your associate job and when you take over the practice. I would not finish your associate job on a Friday and start working at the new office you acquire on Monday. 1 weekend is not enough time to make sure that you're adequately prepared. When you take over a dental practice, it is going to be one of the most stressful, most difficult time periods in your entire life to this date, maybe ever in your entire life. I'm warning you, it is very stressful. There's going to be a lot going on. You want to make sure that you're as rested and fully recovered and as fully prepared as possible. That means taking at least a couple weeks off after you leave your associate job before you take over the office, at least a few weeks. Ideally, take a vacation, go somewhere nice. Relax. Once you take over the office, it's going to be hard to take a vacation for the first few months. It's going to be hard to walk away once you've just purchased the office. Eventually, you'll be at a point where you can take vacations, and likely you'll be able to take more vacations as an owner than you were when you were working at your associate job. But for the first 6 months or so, just plan on you're going to be working full-time at this office, maybe even some on weekends, maybe even some on evenings, getting things organized, getting things caught up. It's going to be a lot of work to do this right. So take a few weeks after you leave your associate job. So that means if you have to give 90-day notice, we're really looking at something more like 4 months before you can acquire that practice, which might be pushing it for some sellers. Sellers are going to be aiming to close in the practice oftentimes within 2 months. That's going to be their goal. And that is possible. It's possible to close in 2 months, but it's not possible to close in 2 months if you have to give a 90-day notice and you want to take off 3 to 4 weeks before acquiring the office. Worst case scenario, just leave your associate job now, turn in your notice right now, and then just find another job and don't sign a 90-day notice. That's going to make it so much easier. Also, the other thing you want to make sure you're not signing any type of non-compete agreements at your associate job. You don't need it. You do not have to sign a non-compete at your associate job. Sure, the company or the dentist you're working for, they might like you to sign one. They might say, hey, I don't want you to work for 2 years, 10 miles around this practice. They can want that, but you don't have to agree to it. You do not have to sign that. Yeah, your first job out of school, you might have signed it. That was a mistake. Don't do it again. When you go to buy the office, what happens if you find an office, a perfect office, exactly what you're looking for, but it's within that radius that you signed that you wouldn't, your non-compete agreement? Now you're trapped. You can't buy that office. And you might say, well, I'll just break it. Yeah, but if the banks find out about it, they're not going to give you a loan. And oftentimes the banks will ask to see your associate contract before they give you the loan. So just don't even sign that in the first place. Just stay away from that. So ultimately, our question was, how long does it take to purchase a dental practice? Searching phase, anywhere from a month to a year, averaging maybe about 4 months. And then the closing phase, anywhere from 2 months to 4 to 5 months, averaging 3 to 4. So in total, we're looking at somewhere between 6 to 9 months on average to acquire a practice. That's typically what it takes. It might be a little bit longer, might be a little shorter. I wouldn't rush it though. Remember, your goal is to buy the best practice possible. And if it takes you a few months longer to buy a practice where you're going to be making twice as much after you buy it, it's absolutely worth it. Trust me. You don't rush into this. Do this right. Buy the right practice. Do your due diligence correctly. If you want help with that, that's what I do. I help dentists evaluate practices, reach out. I'm happy to look at offices with you. You want to make sure you're doing this right. The number one thing you can do is buy the right practice. If you buy the wrong practice, you can do everything right and you're still going to struggle. But if you buy the right practice, you're going to have so much more leeway where you can make mistakes and still be successful. Buying the right practice, one of the most important things you can do. Be careful, take your time, and good luck.